Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
All right, great to be with you guys. It's kind of weird, isn't it, with everyone sort of spread out in like every different bits of space of the room. So I'm going to try and like pan my vision to all of you. But if I'm looking like more or less here, just forgive me. I am paying attention, but I can be a little bit like a steamroller in the spirit. So what Clive was saying was kind of right in the sense that once I kind of sometimes get into the things of God's presence, I lose track of a lot of other things. And so if I speak kind of fast, if it feels like it's just kind of one sort of continuous flow, just try and bear with me and try not to take too many notes. Maybe you can listen afterwards. Because it doesn't always work sometimes. But I'm so, so honored to be here. I love being part of this church at the moment and getting to partner with you guys, getting to encourage you as worshipers. And I loved what you shared in that testimony. Just seeing what happened up there was amazing. I really believe that, guys, that we are in times where we're going to start to see an acceleration of miracles. So I love that Clive just brought that word, because it's something the Spirit of God really spoke to me a few weeks ago, that these are the days that we're in right now, where there's going to be this unprecedented measure of God's presence and God's miracles breaking out. Come on, how many of you want the miraculous power of Jesus in and through your lives? Sometimes I think we get too casual with this kind of thing, as if it's not even a big deal. But this is an amazing stuff. Everything we read in the Gospels, in the New Testament, the continual amount of miracles and the casting out of demons that Jesus did, this is phenomenal stuff. And this is exciting that we get to partner with the Lord in this hour that we're in right now. And I think you guys are already starting to see an increase breaking through of that. And, you know, I just really felt like you need to record more and more of those videos as well. There's something so powerful. Like, guys, if you're praying for people and you see the miracles happen, start to get the video testimonies. Let's start to, you know, we live in a generation, a time where so much is being plugged and used through social media, and so much of it is bad, but there are things that we can use for the glory of God as well. Videos of people getting healed, videos of people getting set free. There's this kind of outbreak. They're calling it a revival. I don't know enough about it yet to see if it is, but there is this outbreak in America that's taking place at the moment, with an evangelist, a lady over there. I need to find out what her name is. I've forgotten it now. It's Catherine something or other. But she's, you know, they're posting these videos where they're doing these revival meetings in the park, and people are just turning up to this park at these live meetings every few days. And I mean, the what's happening there, the testimonies I've seen are phenomenal. I mean, you're seeing full-on people having demons being cast out of them that have had them for 22 years in their body, people getting instantly set free from some of the most, addictive of patterns of demonic oppression, things like that, and the miracles are breaking out, people getting saved. And so I really believe that we're in these days and in these times, we're going to see more of that. So I just love that you're going for that, and just really, really encourage you guys as a church. Press in for that presence, press in for the miraculous, press in every opportunity you get to see Jesus glorified, to see Jesus magnified in and through you. Doesn't necessarily have to be that miraculous thing every moment of every day, but be expectant. You know, we serve a supernatural God. We serve a supernatural Jesus. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is not quiet. He's not distant or hidden away. Jesus is present, and he wants to be right here in and around you and I every single moment of every single day. And it's something we need to learn, is what it looks like to practice the presence of God, what it looks like to be and abide and, you know, dwell in his presence day and night, every single place that you go. And so I'm still learning that. I think we're all still on a journey with that. But it's one that I've kind of given my life to. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm not, to the day I die, I want to be one who knows what it means to live in the presence of God every single place I go. I love that with Brother Lawrence. He wrote that book, Practicing the Presence. It's an amazing book. But, you know, he was known for his, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. He was known because, you know, he washed dishes for a living. And he kind of became famous for this, because he would wash dishes, but he would get caught up into these most holy, divine encounters with God while washing dishes, and became this man that lived in this place of the presence of God, even while doing a mundane task like that. And so this is not something for one of us, this is something for all of us. I want to talk to you today about fasting, a great, great subject, and sometimes you get interesting reactions. Hands up who's a fan of fasting. All right, cool. Hands up who's not a fan of fasting. Yeah, some of us love our food. I love my food. It's one of my favorite things. I'm a foodie. For anyone that sees any of my Instagram or social media, they'll often see pictures of food that I'm eating up there. I just love to feast. So I'm a big fan of feasting, but there is this thing of fasting that God has given to the church. And I believe that we are, again, in a time. There is the miraculous. There is the signs and wonders and power, but there is also a time where God is restoring back to the church things that once were of old, that were keys that were given by God to the church that have been lost for many years, and God is restoring them back to us. One of those things is fasting. And so this is something that the God really, I believe, is wanting to breathe back upon the church again. That God wants to see a release of his power that comes through fasting and prayer combined. And so I want to just share with you a little bit about that. I'm really bad with timekeeping, so Clive, you're going to keep me on the clock. All right, when I've got like 10 minutes left, you can tell me, and that'll help me, and I'll try and speed along. So one of the things I felt God wanted to encourage you guys with immediately today was that the Spirit of God would say that as you fast, I will fill. And so sometimes we have this idea and this notion that when we're fasting, that there is this emptiness, right? We have this idea and this notion that obviously we're going to go physically hungry. We're going to be physically withdrawn. We're going to be physically in this place where we're going to be weak. But yet God would say to you that in the place where you fast, in the place where you deny yourself these things of the flesh, I'm going to fill you with my presence. And so I felt God's word of encouragement over you guys today as a church who are coming into this time of prayer, coming into this time of fasting, is that as you fast, I will fill you. Now, fasting is not about works, but fasting is about worth. What do I mean by that? I mean that fasting is way more about our sacrifice of love and adoration to Jesus than it is about just a work of striving that you and I can do to become a better Christian. Many of us know what it's like where you just try and be the best Christian you can be. You try whatever you can do, to get the most heaven points on a day. And so sometimes we can actually get ourselves into something like fasting and it can literally just become another religious activity. What happens when something becomes a religion? When something becomes a religion, and it becomes an idol, when it just becomes a religious kind of mundane, regular, repetitive thing that we're doing so that we can look better in the eyes of God, it literally just becomes an idol to us in that moment. Sometimes we don't mean it to be that. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's become that. But it can just become another idol that is built up and established in our life. God wants to completely dismantle that and break that down. And I believe God wants to restore the joy of fasting back to the church. And I know that sounds like a strange thing to say because fasting is meant to be difficult, is it not? Yes, fasting is not meant to be easy, but there's a glory that comes in our sacrifice. There is a glory that comes in our yieldedness and our surrender that we were singing about and what Clive was praying us through earlier on today. There's something amazing that happens when you and I surrender and deny ourselves the flesh and enter into the glory of fasting. And so I really believe that this is something that the Lord wants to empower us as a church for today, that it's not so much about you doing works and not doing fasting so you can get just to get the brownie points to get closer to God. It doesn't work like that. Fasting is way more something about the worth of Jesus. It's an offering of worship. I remember this is something that God spoke to me about a while back once I started getting into fasting. It's something I'm really passionate about. And the Lord began to really reveal to me in that moment that actually this is costly, it's sacrificial. And wherever there's sacrifice and there's cost, there's value. Wherever there is value, there is worth. And wherever there is worth, there is worship. That's what worship is. It's what you give most attention, most value to. And so wherever there is that value and that worth that's given to something like fasting, it actually can become an offering of worship. And God loves to come and bless where there's an offering of worship. So one of the other things to just kind of note with this is that the fasting is a, I'm going to talk a lot about kind of what fasting is, maybe what fasting is not. So if it gets a little bit muddled, forgive me. But fasting is a gateway to really seeing emptiness of the soul coming into something of fulfillment. There's an exchange that takes place when you fast. Okay, so when you come into the place of fasting, there's an exchange that takes place. So your physical belly starts to feel empty. Right? But in that place, there is a fulfilling of your soul. There's a fulfilling of the deep innermost being that fasting brings to us. And so I'm going to share just a little bit about my kind of fasting journey. I received a prophecy back in 2019. I was passionate about kind of doing periodic fasts. You know, there are all different kind of fasts that I know everybody's into and interested in doing. 2019, though, I received this fast, this prophecy that God was really going to start to take me into a time of prolonged fasting and a time where it was going to become a much more of a lifestyle of fasting. And actually, up to that point, I never really done much in terms of water fasts. I've never really done much. It was always kind of morning till evening. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. I just hadn't really stretched myself much beyond that. So it was really after January 2019 that I began in these kind of extended fasts. And I can tell you, this was amazing. The breakthrough that it brought, the life that it began to bring to my soul, the closeness actually to the presence of God that began to open up was a phenomenal thing that began to take place. In one sense, it sounded really strange, but I started telling people, gosh, I almost feel a little bit addicted to fasting. And that's such a bizarre statement to make when we're addicted to so many things and we're addicted to food so much of the time. And it was like I almost began to get this addiction to fasting. Why? Because there was something so life-giving and fulfilling that God began to do as I began to deny myself food. As I began to deny myself what my physical body was wanting, what it did was it opened up my soul, my spirit man, to be able to receive what my flesh actually needed, which was living bread, living water, manna from heaven. It was something way deeper. And that's what happens when we fast. Yes, your physical appetite begins to diminish and all of those things begin to take place. But there's actually an awakening of your spirit, of your soul, of your senses to the things of the presence and the person of God. And this begins to bring a fulfillment that you just don't get anywhere else. And so I really began to experience this. I began to experience breakthroughs that started happening in my life. You know, there were many times where there were jobs and things of favor and finance that I needed. And I felt the Lord pulling me into a fast just to contend. You know, the fasting's always coupled with prayer. You know, if it's not, then it becomes a diet, doesn't it? Right? If there's no prayer that accompanies it, I mean, That's the whole point. It's meant to be fasting and prayer. Those two things go hand in hand together. And there's this amazing book that I told Clive about that I really recommend. It's called Atomic Power Through Fasting and Prayer. And it's really this idea that what fasting does is it brings the atomic power to what prayer already is. So there's already power that's in prayer. But when you infuse and couple fasting with it, there's this atomic power that kind of lands and combines and joins with it. And I love that because I never looked at it like that before. And this book is just replete with testimony after testimony of breakthroughs that God did through people that fasted. You've got accounts of people that started holding these revival meetings. It was written in the 1940s. People started going on these 21-day fasts, 40-day fasts. Some of them went for longer than that, several months fasting. And at the end of these fasts, what began to happen was these outbreak and outpourings of like healing revival, so to speak, where thousands and thousands began to get healed at these tent meetings instantly. And it all came in this place of prayer and fasting around these tent revival meetings. And so there is so much that fasting can really bring you and I. And so I just met the Lord and found him in a really profound way through fasting. And so I went through the next 2 years every single month committing myself to fasting at some point during it. So the length of time was always up for grabs, and I encourage that for all of us. When you're thinking about doing a fast, you want to ask the Lord what he's actually asking of you. There's nothing wrong with making a conscious decision yourself and saying, I'm going to fast today, but there's something powerful when the Spirit of God begins to breathe and speak into what the fast is that he's actually asking of each of us. And so I encourage you with that. You know, ask the Lord, what is it you're asking me to fast? How long are you asking me to fast? Is it 2 days? Is it 3 days? Is it 5 days? Is it 10 days? Whatever it might be, you know, it will look different for each of us. And it's important that we recognize that. This is not about a comparison or a competition of who can fast the longest. And I know it sounds obvious, but there are things like that Christians actually get into. There are things like that in our soul that we weirdly sometimes enter into, where we kind of feel like we have to, this person did it this long, I need to go this long. It's not about that. It's about being attentive and obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying to each of us individually. It's about doing what the Father has asked you to do. What is it that God is requiring of you? How many of you have been on a fast recently? And there's no shame on that if people haven't. Okay, just a couple of you, it's fine. But, you know, sometimes we forget to actually ask that question. We forget to ask the question, Lord, when do you want me to next fast? When do you next want me to actually give up food? When do you next want me to actually lay down this thing that my flesh craves so much? This is what's so amazing, guys, about fasting, is that the human body, what's the things that we need the most, apart from air in our lungs, is the food and water. So there is something really profound when you say, I'm going to offer up my body as a living sacrifice to Jesus. I'm going to deny myself the thing that my physical body and my physical flesh desires the most. And instead, I'm going to come into that truth, knowing that actually what's taking place is a divine exchange. Yes, I won't be having my food and my water that my physical body needs, but man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the bread of life. That's what happens when we fast, and I love that. There's an exchange that takes place, that yes, you might be in a place where it's quite a challenge to lay down our food. It's quite a challenge to lay down water for some. You know, we need to do that in good measure. I don't want to start encouraging people to go for like 20 days without water. You might die. So, you've got to hear God on these things. But there's something glorious, guys, that happens when you lay that sacrifice down, and then Jesus literally becomes that bread of life. His presence literally begins to be the thing that starts to sustain you. So I'm going to take you through just a few of the practicals of fasting today, because it's a big subject and there's actually a lot to speak on pertaining to it. But I'm going to start with this. What is fasting? So fasting is abstaining from food and sometimes water. Okay, so some distinguish that and refer to that as thirsting, but it's an abstaining from fleshly desires in a broader sense. So you're denying the flesh for the purpose of going deeper in prayer and seeking God so that your inner man might be strengthened and so that you can come into alignment with God, so that he is dominant over your flesh. So fasting is an enabling to walk by the Spirit. It's denying, I've already mentioned some of this already, but it's a denying what your physical body needs the most and saying that there is something greater that you're after, which is Jesus. Powerful, powerful thing. What fasting isn't. I think this is an important one to mention, because sometimes we can talk so much about what fasting is. Actually, we can forget what fasting is not. Fasting is not a diet. Amen? It's not a means of losing weight. And I know that there have been times where people go on fast, and they go on fast because actually what they're hoping for is that they can shed some weight real quick. I can tell you now, God's blessing's probably not going to be on that. You're probably not going to reap the spiritual benefits of it. Fasting is not a diet. It is not just something we do to lose weight. Fasting is not abstaining from social media. I'm going to say that one because it's not abstaining from shopping or television or from seeing friends or from going to the gym. I'm saying that because there are a lot of fasts that I've sometimes seen over this last year, which is ironic that people put it out there on Facebook by telling people, but of these, I get why people are doing that, but I'm going on a social media fast, so I won't be in contact for the next 2 to 3 weeks or whatever. These are spiritual disciplines, but spiritual disciplines are different to fasting. Okay, so taking time out of Instagram or Facebook is a great thing to do. There's nothing negative about it. It's a positive. Glory to God. That's an amazing thing to do. But it's not fasting. It's a spiritual discipline that we're entering into. Why? Because fasting is much more precisely concerned with food and water. If you look through the Bible, almost every single instance that you'll get of fasting surrounds food and water. Pretty much on every occasion. They talk in the New Testament about the abstinence from sex and things like that, but it's never listed and referred to as fasting. Every time where fasting is referred to, at least from what I've found, if there are any scriptures I've missed out, someone can correct me afterwards. But from what I've found, that any time fasting is spoken of in the scriptures, it's around food and water. And so there is something about us getting back to that. Because honestly, sometimes we make it easy for ourselves. We make it easy for ourselves in a lot of church culture today by saying, I'm going to go on this fast of not going on my social media, of not using WhatsApp for a week. And actually, I think what we've done is we've settled for something that we were never meant to settle for. And I think there's a reason why fasting is always around food and water in the scriptures. It's around, and I've mentioned it already, but it's around food and water in the scriptures because that's the thing that's the hardest for us to give up. You might think it's harder. I've heard sometimes people say, oh no, you don't know how hard it is for me to be on without social media. I'm like, well, if it's that hard, then there's something else that needs to take place there, and it's probably deliverance. But if it came to it, however long you go for, eventually, with abstaining from food or water is going to be the hardest and most difficult thing that you're going to have to face at some point or another. You might not feel that on the first day necessarily, but probably wait a few more days and then you'll start to see that. Fasting is not a means of earning God's approval. It's not going to make you more approved by God. It's not going to make you more loved by God. It's not even going to make you more favored by God. It doesn't make you a better Christian or even a more spiritual one if your motives and reasons for doing it are not pure. Isaiah 58 verse 1 to 7 speaks about this. It's not a way to twist God's arm. And it's not something that we do to impress others or ourselves. You know, we see that, right, in the New Testament when Jesus speaks about fasting, in the Gospel of Matthew, and he speaks about those who they fast, but they go and tell everyone else about it, basically. They purposely don't wash and clean their faces. They purposely don't look after themselves. They purposely look withdrawn and gaunt so that people would recognize that they're entering into this sacrifice. So there's something in that that's speaking very clearly to us. That is, we don't do it for others. We don't do it to others, and we don't do it for the approval of God in that respect. So when you're on a fast, I would almost encourage you, look as kind of natural as normal as you can. Take care of yourself. Don't forget to brush your teeth. Still wash your, you know, wash your hair, all of that kind of stuff. Fasting is something that's really meant to be between you and God primarily. Now, I'm not against a few people knowing, because there are some contexts. We live in a culture and generation and a time, right, where there's often a lot of social gatherings and people wanting to have people around for dinner and things like that. And so there are certain aspects and times of it where there is it's appropriate to be able to share with some of the people that you're around. I'm on this fast at the moment, and so I'm not going to be eating this, this, and this. That's totally fine. The scriptures are making it plain and making it clear to us that the heart and the premise of that idea about whatever we do, do it in secret before God, close the door behind us in prayer and in fasting. The whole notion of that isn't that you can't tell a single soul about it, because again, you can get religious with that. It's about the heart. Jesus is getting at the heart. What was at the heart of the Pharisees? What was at the heart of the religious leaders? They were doing it to be noticed. They were doing it to be known. They were doing it to get some kind of recognition. And so it's really about the condition of your heart. Your condition of your heart can still be pure before Jesus. And at the same time, you still might need to tell a few people. Sometimes I've told a few people when I've been on a fast so that they would pray and stand in the gap for the things that I'm contending for. I'm just switch over notes real quickly. Clive, how long have I got? I've got 10. Yeah? Oh, right, nice. Okay, cool. All right, so should we fast and why? Okay, so the clearest example, I think we can find is in Matthew 6:16. And so this is when Jesus says that when you fast, implying that this is something that every believer should do. Something going funny with my voice. Okay, I'm good, all right. So the implication is that when you fast, this is something that every believer should do. He then goes on to encourage them not to make it obvious in the way that we fast, just as the hypocrites do. Also, there's the scripture in Mark 2:12. Do you remember that when there are questions about fasting from the Pharisees, and Jesus gives the analogy of fasting while at the wedding feast, while the bridegroom is being present. And then there's an implication that's there, that there will be a time where he's not there anymore, and that then it will be appropriate time for fasting. Why? Because there will be a dependency that is needed upon Jesus. So there is something given to us even in that scripture in Mark 2 verse 12, this analogy that's painted for us, that while the bridegroom is there, don't fast, but when the bridegroom is not there, that's a time where fasting will be required. Why? Because there is a dependency that is needed upon Jesus. So the reason that we fast is for various reasons. One, that we're expected to. Okay, Jesus did it and likely did it. It was very light regular in first century culture to have fasted. So it was a regular done thing. And so if we're not in a place where we're regularly fasting, we have to ask the question, why? One of the reasons I think that a lot of the time we don't fast today is, again, because we've made an idol out of food. It's one of the things that God spoke to me about. In those places where you feel like you're missing food too much and it feels just too hard, even the idea of giving up food, God spoke to me in that moment and was like, you probably need to deal with an idol. It's not that it's not hard, it's when food becomes something that you cannot do without as a sacrifice for Jesus. When you and I can't go for a day or an afternoon or 2 days or whatever it might be without food. There's something there that God wants to deal with. And I've had that at times in my life where the Lord spoke to me in that moment and the Lord was like, I want to actually deal with an idol that you've made around food, because I really love food. And there's nothing wrong with loving food, but there is something wrong when you love food more than Jesus. And when you're not prepared to lay down your food for a certain amount of time that God is asking you to, then it starts to display where our hearts are at. It starts to display what is actually deep within our soul, what it is that we're looking for, what it is that we're finding refuge or comfort in, whatever that might be. One of the reasons we fast, to draw closer to God. This is actually the top. There are a lot of reasons that we can fast. There are a lot of things around breakthrough that we can talk about in terms of why people fast. I would say the top more than anything else is that we draw closer to Jesus. That means even when you're kind of contending for like a particular breakthrough in an area, whether it's like work or a family situation or something like that, it means that at the top of your goal and the top of your desire, the top of your heart is, I want to get close to Jesus. I want to be so fed by the manna of heaven in this time that when I come out of this fast, I look different from when I came in. This is something that we should be praying when we come into the time of fasting. It doesn't matter what your fast is, but whatever it is, pray that, God, bring me into this fast and do whatever you need to do through it so that when I come out of this fast, I look way more like Jesus by the end of it. Ask him to pull you into those encounters when you get drawn to him through fasting. To see Jesus face to face. This is something we really want, to grow in intimacy with the Lord. I'm going to read for you this testimony, if I've got the right reference. It's from this book, Atomic Power, and I want to read this to you. I mean, there are countless stories I could read in here, but can I read you just this one? I've probably got like 7 minutes left or something like that, so I'll start to kind of wrap up soon. But this is a testimony of someone who fasted for 40 days. And it says, it's entitled, Fasted 40 Days Sees Mighty Detroit Revival. And this is the testimony from this guy. At 19 years of age, I was dying with the flu. My temperature was 106 degrees. It was on this deathbed that I surrendered completely to God. I promised the Lord that I would preach the gospel if he would heal me. Then I was caught up into heaven for 12 hours. When I came back, I was perfectly healed, ready to work for him who raised me up so miraculously. Praise his name. Even at that young age, God said, if I would be faithful in fasting and praying, he would raise up workers all over the world in their own tongues. He also gave me Mark 10:29-30 as a call to travel and do exploits in his name. I was shown many other things as I started my life with fastings and prayings like Paul. Many times my fastings were from 3 days to a week and longer. In some of my fasts, the Lord gave me such much revelation concerning the time we live. While on a 2 weeks fast, I cried and prayed until Jesus became so real that he appeared in my room one night. This was in the beginning of my Christian experience. The room was all lighted up, brighter than the sun. Jesus stood at the foot of my bed and a light much brighter than the sun was around him. This great experience was very impressive, and for a long time, it seemed I was walking on air. Shortly after that, while fasting 5 days, the Lord filled me with a peculiar experience. A Roman missionary told me I was speaking a message, glorifying and praising the Lord in his language, and I never did speak Italian before. It must have been the Holy Spirit talking. The missionary interpreted what I was saying. After giving up my job, I went on a partial fast for 3 months, eating only once a day. The Lord gave me intercession for souls. After praying and fasting 7 days to see sinners converted and to ask the wonderful Lord to give me more of him, the Lord sent a revival meeting to Dayton, Ohio, where the Lord healed a multitude of sick folk and converted many souls. My prayer was also answered in another way when a lady gave me Dr. Franklin Hall's book on fasting and prayer. This deeper fasting experience was what I wanted. I was now able to fast longer than a week or two. I was so burdened for sinners and their bodies to be healed that I could hardly sleep at nights. With my longer fasting, I could get greater victories for my intercession. I could see what God would do when multitudes would begin to fast. Jesus showed me that before long, there would be workers all over the world who would fast and travail for souls. This would bring great revivals, yes, greater than the world has ever seen, even greater than when Jesus was here. If it were not for his word, it would seem unbelievable in the natural. The works I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these you shall do, because I go unto my Father, John 14:12. I'll just read this last part for you guys. After fasting 40 days without food and with Jesus to strengthen me, I saw many more miracles and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. I saw the dry bones of Ezekiel take life. As I continued to agonize and weep for lost souls, the spirit of heaviness was upon me to an extent it seemed my spirit would leave the body. I saw 30,000 souls appear before me, finding Christ as their Savior in a Colosseum in Detroit, Michigan. I saw another 10,000 find Jesus in an open field. Many churches, auditoriums, and big tents were packed. A mighty revival was coming through fasting and prayer, but I was shown how the wealthy Laodicean churches were dealt out of out judgment. Their false leaders were given the judgment of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit. When I was reading Brother Hall's books on fasting, the sweetest incense came down from heaven, setting a seal of approval upon them. They present a teaching of... Okay, don't worry about that bit. All right, that's the bulk of the testimony. But incredible, right? Amazing. I mean, that book is replete of testimonies like that. And I've spoken to so many people who enter into this lifestyle of fasting and prayer, where God honors that sacrifice and God honors that longing for his presence and God honors that drive and that exhilaration, that excitement that says, Jesus, whatever it takes, I've got to have you. I must have more of your presence. I must have more of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. The scriptures say, how much more will God the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? And there's that cry that's in the hearts of those who fast and pray, saying, God, this is what it takes. If it means that I have to go to skin and bone, I'm not saying everyone should do this, by the way, but this is what it's like. If that's what it takes so that I might get baptized in fire and never be the same again, so be it, God. And God is looking for that generation of us where we say, God, whatever it takes to be in your presence, whatever it takes to have and live in such a manifest glory of God that would pour out through my life, Lord, whatever it takes, I say yes to it. If it means I have to fast 7 days this week, then God, I'm going to go for it. If it means I'm going to come out different, if it means that my lost family member is going to get saved, if it means that my marriage is going to be restored, if it means that those who are sick are going to start to get healed, if it means that the lost souls are going to be saved, if it means that those who are under oppression are going to get free, then Lord, so be it. Remember the scripture in the New Testament, that I know there are various translations and not all of them include this, but it's the scripture that talks about, you know, those that when Jesus delivered the demon-oppressed boy, and he talks about having that faith the size of a mustard seed to move mountains, he says this will only come out through prayer and fasting. That there are some things that God requires of us that can only come out through that sacrifice of fasted lifestyle. There are some things where you don't see them shift until you enter into a place of fasted prayer. There's something that happens, guys, when you and I enter into this. I want to encourage and stir your hearts. I've got like a few minutes left, but I want to encourage you today that whatever it is that God has laid upon your heart, what is it that you're after today? What is it that you're contending for to see a breakthrough in? What is it that your heart is longing for? Is it just Jesus? Then praise God, go into a fast. Is it a specific kind of breakthrough that you haven't seen broken through yet? Why not enter into a fast? The thing is this, you're not going to lose anything by fasting. It's not going to be wasted unless the heart and the motive is completely wrong. It's never going to be a waste of time. So even if you're not sure, well, I don't know if I'm going to see that breakthrough. I don't know if I'm going to have that encounter with God through fasting. Who cares? Do it anyway. It's an amazing thing to do, at least not as a sacrifice before Jesus. Remember, the cost that Jesus went to for the cross for us should mean that there is no cost that you and I can pay or no offering that we can give that would ever seem too great. And this is something I've been so challenged by. This is not in any way a condemning message. This is like the things that God has spoken to me over and over again, where he spoke to me and was like, can you not give up your food for just a few days for me? And I was like, oh, yes, of course I can. Of course I can, Lord. Of course I can. And fasting humbles us. It puts rightful attention back on Jesus again. Fasting it recalibrates your heart and your soul. I've had many, many times where I've been in fasting and suddenly my mind has become clear again. Suddenly things that have felt heavy have just lifted off. And I'm like, wow, I'm thinking again clearly. My focus is sharp. There's a recalibration in the spirit back to the things of God again. God starts to realign your heart. God even starts to realign your flesh. Your bodies can sometimes start to experience greater healing even through fasting. Just through doing this. On a kind of biological level, there's a clearing out of toxins and things like that in your body. It's actually a good thing to do for your physical body. But there's so much more that comes with it from that. But there is a humbling where you declare your dependency on God. And this is a precious place to be. May we never lose dependency upon God. May we never get to a place where we're okay without the presence of God. Where we never go a day where we think, oh, I don't really need to be with the Lord today. I'm doing just fine. No, may we be a people that need every single day to be completely dependent on the presence of God in order to get through it. I don't want to live a single day of my life without being in the presence of God. I don't want to live a single day of my life without spending time with him at some point. And this again, when your physical body is that weak, something in you is going to start crying out, Lord, I really need you. One of the things I often pray when I'm in that fast and I'm really craving that food is, God, I don't live on bread alone. I live on every word that comes through the mouth of God. And I pray that over and over again, especially when I start feeling really hungry. I'm like, Jesus, you are my bread and you are living water. And I start praying in tongues and praying in the spirit, and it begins to feed the soul in those moments. I've had those times before where I've done that in the middle of fasting and suddenly my appetite just feels like full. And so there can be that kind of shift in those moments. Remember, Jesus went through his greatest testing when he went through the wilderness, right? And what happened? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And then what happened as a result? So he was tested by the devil in that time where he was going for 40 days and 40 nights. But then what happened? I love this. The outflow was that he came out clothed in the power of the Spirit. This is amazing. This is really, really amazing. Okay. He's a great time. No, it's great. I really need people to keep me on time sometimes. But this is amazing. Sometimes your greatest testing is what's setting you and preparing you up for your greatest breakthrough. But see the way Jesus, our Lord, our representative, our model, see how he did it. He went into that wilderness. He was led by the Spirit of God into that wilderness to be tested by the devil 40 days. Didn't touch food at any point. But he came out clothed in the Spirit. There's something, guys, about us. Even today, I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord, God, what is it that you're asking me of fasting? Could this be the fast that you're calling me to do, where God, you will clothe me in the power of the Holy Spirit? There are so many different fasts you can do. I'm going to just say this just to kind of finish on, because I know sometimes people can get a little bit in a spin about what kind of fast to do. You need to ask Jesus what fast he's asking of you. And sometimes you need to build that up. I've had people before suddenly think, well, am I meant to suddenly go into a 40-day fast? I've never even done one day. Don't do that. Don't do that. Start with wherever you're at. Whatever is a sacrifice is the key. If it's easy, don't do it. If it's a sacrifice, praise God. If that's you don't eat from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, and that feels really challenging, and you feel the sacrifice, and you feel that dependency upon the Lord, awesome, go for it. And then I would encourage at that point onwards, eventually God will start to build up your stamina and your ability to fast for longer. And then you can start to go from 1 day to 2 days to 3 days and so forth from there. But Jesus wants to restore this back to us. I'm going to pray for everyone. Why don't you guys just stand? I know there's a lot to say on this. It's a big, big subject. There's a lot more to kind of speak through. Testimonies and stories. Seeing God break the power of addiction through fasting. Seeing God bring healing. You know, just this is what happens when we fast. God loves to land his power upon a sacrificial heart. And so, Father, I pray even right now, God, for each of us here today, that God, we wouldn't see fasting as a task or as a chore that's just painful. But Lord, that there'll be something that would be stirred in our spirits and our inner man today to know that God, that fasting is your means of seeing where the soul is empty to see it fulfilled with the life of God. That God, that we would be a people that see fasting as that means to love Jesus as an offering of worship, a sacrifice of praise, something, God, that humbles us and shows us our dependency back on you, Lord. Bring us back to the art of fasting. Bring us back to the glory of fasting. Bring us back, God, to what you had, Lord, through the scriptures over and over again. Remember, even Esther, she went through that 3-day fast without food or water concerning the favor of God and the protection of the Jews at that time. There are fasts throughout the scriptures that were modeled to us. Lord, take us back to a place, God, where fasting would become normal again, where power would become normal again. I'm praying, God, for each of them today, that Lord, that you would speak into their hearts, Father. And it may not be today, and it may not even be tomorrow, but it might be in the next couple of weeks, you'll start to feel the whisper of God pulling you into a fast again, saying, will you do this for me? Will you be prepared to give a few days for me so that I might be able to give something of eternal worth back to you? And so, Lord, I pray that there will be a zeal and a hunger for fasting that's released to the church in Jesus' name. Amen.